With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Happy Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. I am Scott Jensted, joined on Fridays by Ryan Belongi. Did I say that right, Ryan?
Yeah, Belongi.
Belongi. I in my head, I Belongi or Belongi. I knew it was right there, but I just by week 14, I promised to get it right. We are sponsored by WinBet. We appreciate them for their sponsorship on RotoWire's podcast all year long. Ryan, how are you? It's week 7. I don't know how we got here so fast, but here we are.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Just real quick to touch on last week. I think it was the worst Sunday I've had so far for NFL DFS. I made a few mistakes that I think will be important for this week and going forward. The first, just real quickly, want to apologize to anyone who read my DraftKings article last week because I recommended to fade Cooper Kupp, and he turned out to be the best receiver play on the slate. My thinking was that, and I think a lot of people think this way, you want, when you roster an expensive receiver, you want them to be passing in the fourth quarter and still playing up-tempo in the fourth quarter, and I was worried that they would slow it down and be running the ball. A game wouldn't be competitive. We want to run our expensive receivers back with someone from the other game. And I didn't want to do that with the Giants last week. So it all just kind of led me to fade Kupp. But that's a mistake because guys like that can, you know, put up 30 points in the first half. And so it relates to this week because we have three games like that this week, which we'll get into. One last thing about last week, another mistake I made was just jamming Kareem Hunt. We got the news that Chubb was out. Everybody was on Hunt, and rightfully so, but it was a bit different than the week before when we had Alexander Mattison pop up because, for one, we just knew he was going to step right into the Dalvin Cook role, and two, there wasn't that many great running backs on the slate. Whereas last week we had about 10 that were, you know, above average to really good plays. So it didn't make sense to jam in Hunt like that when there's so many other options and, you know, Hunt's going to be the highest owned. So I deserve to get crushed last week, and hopefully we can do better this week.
Yeah. I mean, and that's DFS. You're going to have weeks that are rough. And you know, I did all right on DraftKings, and I got smoked on FanDuel. I don't remember what the difference was. I think that quarterback was tough for me last week. I had a lot of Lamar Jackson, and you know, they won and won easily, but it's a weird week where, you know, Bell and Freeman scored early and you're like, oh, well, all of a sudden, and I think Latavius scored really early too, before he got hurt. And then like they have a big lead and Lamar hasn't done anything to get in that lead. So it was like a weird situation. Then like Mahomes had no touchdowns going to the 2 minute warning. Justin Herbert got smoked. It was a weird week. There was a moment early on where all three of those guys had no touchdowns with like, and it was like an hour into the games and a bunch of weird names of scores. So it was kind of a weird week. My Joe Burrow team did really well. So that one worked out, not really well, but at least cash. So that one worked out well at least, but yeah, good segue with Kupp into this week. We have three. We only have 10 games on the slate. We have six teams on bye, and they're big teams too. Like especially at running back, the byes really really mess with DFS and you know season long fantasy. Obviously, this week a lot of people have been talking about that. But we have three games with huge spreads. We'll hit those first. We have the Rams are favored by 16 over Detroit. Tampa's favored by 12 over Chicago, and Arizona's favored by 17.5 over Houston. You don't see many 17 and a halves in the NFL, especially this early on. Usually it's like later on teams where guys are hurt and teams are tanking and you see that. But how are you, what you said about Kupp earlier, how are you feeling about this game? Because obviously the concern we have is that, you know, it's 27-6 at halftime. And, you know, Stafford and Kyler Murray and Tom Brady are just kind of handing the ball off for a whole half.
Yeah. I have, you know, usually I don't like to play these games with huge spreads, you know, for what we've spoke about before. But this week, I think I'm going to be on some of them at least for two reasons. You don't need to. We get too concerned sometimes with running it back the other direction. And I don't think you need to in any of these games. There are some spots to do it, though, so you can. But I'm going to have some stacks that are just the favorite. And I think you can go bigger stacks, too, because, you know, all the quarterbacks in that game have 4 or 5 touchdown upside. So you can even stack them with 2, 3 receivers if you throw a cheap one in or a cheap tight end in. Yeah. Yeah, so I have a lot of interest in this in these games. Specifically, probably the most would be the Rams-Lions game, because that game has the biggest offensive line, defensive line mismatch of all the games on the slate. I think that's important to look to. It makes Henderson look really good. The passing game already looks really good. And I think the Rams, out of all three of these teams, well, actually, I know they do. They play faster, and they throw the ball into the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I prefer the Rams, but I think you can go to all three of these teams, and I think they won't be quite as popular as you might expect, because people like to avoid these big spreads, and they like to avoid these bad teams. But especially on, you know, a little smaller slate, like a 10-game slate, there might be only, you know, 1, 2, 3 games that go off. And these have a very high likelihood to do that. So I think you want to have some exposure.
Yeah. And it's, so we talked about those 3 games. There's 10 games on slate, 6 early, 4 late. We mentioned the bye weeks, Dallas, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and the Chargers. And it really hits on running backs. I mean, that's James Robinson, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Najee Harris, Austin Ekeler. Like, that's a lot of names that that are off the board. So that's it really changes the running back scenarios this week. Primetime games that are off the slate. We had Denver and Cleveland last night, the D. Ernest Johnson show, as it'll forever be known. Indy and the 49ers, apparently playing in a monsoon in the Bay Area on Sunday night. It should be an interesting game. And then the Saints and the Seahawks. We get another Seahawks primetime game. Obviously, the team, network's not knowing that Russell Wilson was not going to be playing. So those teams will be off the slate. It's interesting. We only have a couple of low totals and a couple of high totals this week, but we have a really, really, really high total. We have a 57.5 in Tennessee, the Chiefs in Tennessee, and then the Rams in Detroit. You mentioned is 50.5. Got to think this Chiefs Tennessee game is going to get a lot of eyeballs on a lot of DFS players.
Yeah, and I think it should. It's tough to avoid. I think it's the biggest total we've seen this season.
I think so too.
It's another game where there's a big mismatch between Kansas City's offensive line and Tennessee's defensive line. So Kansas City should just be able to do whatever they want. And we've seen that their defense can't really stop anybody either. And, you know, there's players on both sides that we love to roster, everybody on KC. And then, you know, Derrick Henry, I don't know what else you can say about him. He's been unbelievable. AJ Brown's in a really good spot, assuming he's healthy. His salary's come down. Yeah, this game, it's clearly the best game, I would say. It will be popular, but that's okay. You can get different in other places in your lineups. I'm going to be playing this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. It jumps off the page. I think kind of how you play it, and I'm going to get to that in 1 second, is the most interesting part of it. I think that with the running backs I just listed, they're out. The Derrick Henry question kind of leads off everything. But let me get there in 1 second. A couple of low total games. We have a couple really low. We have Carolina and the Giants at 43. You know, kind of a struggling quarterback battle there between Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones. And then we have the Jets in New England. It seems like the Jets and New England are always down here this year, 42.5. You know, they already played once this year, and Zach Wilson had four picks against New England. We've talked many moons about Bill Belichick and his rookie quarterback, so not surprising that that is a low total there. But let's jump into kind of the guys who are going to be popular, kind of the optimal guys, the cash lineup guys we're going to see in a lot of cornerstones of lineups. I guess my first question for you, and I'm actually going to jump. Usually I start at quarterback, but I'm going to jump down to running back. I think the first question you got to ask before you fill out any lineup this week is it a Derrick Henry lineup? We talked about all the running backs that are out. Like, it's like that whole second tier of running backs is out. Like, you've pretty much got Aaron Jones in that tier, and then it goes down. I think there's a lot of people going to play Henry, and then a bunch of guys in the 6,000, maybe the high fives. How are you on Derrick Henry this week? I mean, there's nobody. Aaron Jones is the only guy on DraftKings between 9,200 and 6,700. That's actually 66 because Barkley's not going to play. So that's Derrick Henry down to Darrell Henderson. It's a huge gap. What are you doing with Henry on your teams this week?
Yeah, it's a huge drop. You're right. I've gone back and forth on this. I don't think you need to roster Henry in cash games. Of course you can. He's the top play on the slate, but he's 9,200. So he's going to have a big game to pay that off. And more importantly, we don't necessarily have the cheap value that we've had before. I don't see guys in other positions, you know, in the 3K range necessarily. That there might be one at tight end. You know, there might be one or two mid-range wide receivers. We don't have the 4K running backs that we had, or even low 5K running backs that we've had. So you can roster Henry, but it makes your lineup look quite a bit worse. You might have to pay down at quarterback. You might have to pay down at a receiver spot. You'll definitely have to pay down at tight end, which is okay. The nice thing about having Henry on your lineup is that he can bail you out when he goes for, you know, 35, 40. He can bail out bad lineups. I guess I'm a little worried about the game script there. If they get down, there's a chance that they could abandon the run a little bit. 9-2 is expensive. So I guess I wish I had a more definitive answer. I think you can play him right now. I'm leaning towards not playing him, but we might get an injury or two that could open up a cheap guy. And then if I can afford him, I will. But that's kind of up in the air.
I was going to ask you about game script because they're not a team that abandons the run easily. But I mean, if they get down 21-3, you kind of have no choice at that point. And I mean, the Chiefs are allowing 4.8 yards per carry. It's not that their defense is shutting people down, but you know, Mahomes can score quick. You get a turnover, a couple punts in there, and all of a sudden you're looking up and it's 24-3. So he's a tough call, and he kind of determines the rest of your lineup. I don't think you can set the rest of your lineup until you decide. Like if you're doing a bunch of tournament lineups, like, you know, either they're Henry lineups or they're not. You can mix and match them, but the first thing you gotta decide is those, because it's just such a big price difference. But of those cheaper running backs, we're gonna talk about a bunch of mid-range guys a little bit later. But if we're talking about like a cash lineup optimal, you know, who's gonna be the high percentage play? I think Darrell Henderson sticks out in those 6,000 range. He's 6,600. We mentioned they played Detroit. Like, if you want to talk about game script, I mean, this is perfect. He had 23 touches last week. He has 5 touchdowns in 6 weeks. He's clearly the guy in that backfield. You know, they'll mix in some other guys, but he clearly is the one that's getting a large majority of the touches. Detroit's allowed 12 touchdowns to running backs, the worst in the NFL. Like, this is just a prime matchup.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear we're on the same page. I think Henderson is probably the first running back in my cash lineup for all the reasons you said. It's just such a mismatch. He's been so consistent. He'll have plenty of chances to score touchdowns. Caught a nice touchdown pass last week. Yeah, he seems the safest. Everything going for him. So, yeah, I agree. Henderson's in my cash lineup almost for sure.
Yeah, I think that you won't be the only one for sure. But the thing that helps his rostership a little bit is that there's a lot of guys in the 6,000s that we'll get to. So there's a lot of choices. And if you don't go Henry, you're probably going two guys in that range. So it's an interesting little range. But let's talk about quarterbacks real quick. You know, the two obvious guys kind of jump off the page again. It's Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Mahomes is 8,400 on DraftKings. Lamar Jackson, 7,400. Mahomes had a little bit of a slow start last week, and then you look up and he had 397 and 2 touchdowns, 47 passes thrown. So, like, we talked about no touchdowns early, but he racked up the yards. He has 25 rushing yards or more the last 4 weeks too. It's a little quiet, sneaky thing Mahomes has done. He's actually rushed for a few more yards than we expect. You know, we always know he can do that, but some weeks he just doesn't need to. But the way defense has been playing him, kind of that that big kind of umbrella zone. I mean, those pockets in the middle of the field are there. He has multiple touchdowns every week. Only four the last 2 weeks, but you know, still multiple touchdowns every game. Detroit, Tennessee's allowed 270 plus passing yards in 5 of 6 weeks. Like, everything lines up for Mahomes to be quite huge this week.
Yeah, if salary wasn't involved, Mahomes would definitely be the top quarterback on the board for me. I think you can go there in cash. Again, though, 8,400, it does hurt the rest of your lineup a little bit, and Lamar's a thousand cheaper.
Yeah, and it's a big chunk. It's a big chunk.
I don't like him as much as Mahomes. I mean, it's a better game environment for Mahomes, but the salary savings is nice, and Lamar's got that rushing upside. I think, you know, I was on Lamar last week, as a lot of people were. I think we got pretty unlucky. You know, as you mentioned, Latavius, Le'Veon Bell, Freeman, they all scored touchdowns. The Ravens basically played too well. So I'm leaning towards Lamar in cash. Just to save the thousand. If they were equal, I'd roster Mahomes, but I'll save the thousand and go with Lamar.
Yeah, and Lamar's been a little bit weird. Like, he had that huge blow up game on, I think it was Monday night, where he had the 4 touchdown passes. He's only had 2 weeks where he was a quarterback one. He only has more than 2 touchdowns, I think, in passing in one game. Actually, I think he's only more than one passing touchdown in one game, and that was the big 4-1. But, you know, the floor is just so huge. Just 50-plus rushing yards is 5 out of 6. Like, that's just like adding an extra touchdown to start the game. It's such a huge edge. And this is a game that they're playing home against Cincinnati. You'd think that Cincinnati might be able to come back, although, you know, their defense absolutely shut down Justin Herbert last week. It was really impressive. But I think the $1,000 savings is what you mentioned is the key there. I think a lot of people will just be like, oh, well, I'll just take Lamar for, you know, 1,000 less than Mahomes, 1,100 less than Kyler Murray, both on games that, you know, have decent hot side spreads. Obviously, Arizona's is way bigger than Kansas City's, but you could see the Baltimore Cincinnati game maybe get a little back and forth depending on how Baltimore's defense plays. But I think a lot of people are going to go that salary savings there. But with receivers, there like an expensive receiver you think is kind of the automatic go-to this week? I think it's probably going to be Tyreek Hill for a lot of people. He's 8,600 though. He is fully priced. You know, him and Davante Adams are kind of always the two guys, but I think Cooper Kupp joins that discussion now. He's 8,400. He's finally fully priced now. So like the Cooper Kupp in the 7,000s is gone for a while. Of those three top guys, is there one that sticks out to you? Like, oh, that's the guy I'm putting in cash lineups. Everybody's going to have him. Is there anybody like in that top three that you think is like really sticks out from the others?
Man, that's such a tough question. I mean,
it is. I mean, and the answer is probably no. It's probably that they're all really good. But is there one that you really find yourself kind of leaning towards if you're playing a guy up here in the 8,000s?
Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to play one of these guys in cash because there's so many good receivers in the 6K range. If I was going to, I don't know. My answer would have always just been Devontae, just always Devontae. And, you know, it still probably would be. I guess I really like Tyreek for tournaments, but the health scares me a bit. I mean, he's been standing on the sidelines quite a bit, you know, taking plays off. It's not like that big of a worry, but, you know, he's seen at least 12 targets in 3 straight weeks. But for cash, I don't know. I get it if you want to be a little safer. Cooper Kupp, 8,400. You know, I mentioned just an awful fade by me last week. But, you know, he's turning into like a Davante Adams type. So I think the price makes sense. Just the way they use him, he looks so much better with Stafford. So I think you can go to any of these guys. Again, I don't think I'm going to pay up at receiver. If I had to pick for cash, I don't know. I don't know, honestly. Do you have a lean?
I think mine is Devontae for kind of the reason he's laid out, just because he's Davante Adams. And, you know, he was a little light last week. He only had 5 targets and he had 4 catches. I actually like, I kind of like a Rodgers Adams stack as we get to tournaments. I do like that play. The Washington football team defense has been absolutely, utterly abysmal so far. But I think I go there. I mean, Tyreek is obviously so tempting. And if I have a Mahomes, lineup in a tournament, obviously I'm going to consider that. But if I had to play one of the three, I think I go Devontae and call it a day. I mean, it's just so consistently good, consistently targeted. I think Green Bay has 16 offensive touchdowns. Rodgers has thrown for 14 of those. Like, they have a huge disparity in passing versus rushing, which they always do because Rodgers gets inside the five and it changes plays to pass plays. They had a couple of those Aaron Jones, like, little shuffle passes that work too. So it kind of adds to his stats. They just like to throw the ball in there. It's just, I think you can't go wrong with any of the three of them, but I think I'd probably lean Devontae.
Yeah. You convinced me. There's also a thing where when Devontae has a down week, he almost always comes back and smashes. I mean, you just see it happen all the time. And, you know, I know some Rodgers likes to get Devontae stats. It's like a weird thing, but you can tell that he likes to pad Devontae's stats. He likes to pad his own stats even, which is why I like rostering Devontae. You know, they use him as a goal line threat too. Yep. So, yeah, I would lean Devontae too when he's priced this closely to the other guys.
Before we get to a couple other receivers that we think could be popular and some tight ends, a note from our sponsors at WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T, WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ryan, we'll get into mid-range receivers in a bit as we talk like tournaments and stuff, but you mentioned the name already that I think sticks way out in this range. A lot of it's due to price, a lot of it's due to game script, you know, the over-under. A.J. Brown at 6,300, coming off that second half last week. He played really well. He had the food poisoning from Chipotle. He aired them out on Monday, talking about where he ate with the food poisoning. Seven for 91 on 9 targets last week. No Julio Jones. It sounds like he tweaked his hamstring again in practice. The Chiefs played Terry McLaurin well last week, but they've allowed 110 plus yards to 3 different wide receivers already this year. You got to think that Tennessee is going to have to throw the ball some in the second half. I know they usually don't like to, but I think they will here, and they had to a little bit last week. We talked about, you know, Brown went off. Just the price tag here and the name brand and the game script and the total. I think it's going to a lot of A.J. Brown roster ship this week.
Yeah, I agree. Don't really have anything to add to that. You said it perfect. The salary's cheaper than we normally see for Brown. He looked great last week in the second half. They're probably going to be having to throw the ball a lot. Yeah, I love A.J. Brown.
So let's actually jump into some stacks. We'll hit tight ends in a little bit. But so if you're stacking quarterback and receiver this week, is there a place you're going automatically right away? Do you have a couple options? Where are you kind of starting off a tournament team and how you're stacking your quarterback and receiver this week?
Yeah. So other than the Chiefs-Titans game that we mentioned, I'm still kind of up in the air. A lot of times on Friday, I have like a definitive path where I'm going to go. Some ideas out of those high spread games. I like the Rams, 33-point total. We saw what they did last week. I think it could be something similar. It's such a mismatch. The Lions, you know, they look like they're ready to fall apart. You know, I touted Dan Campbell and the Lions, you know, maybe playing well, but yeah, I think this could be a blowout. Well, it's supposed to be a blowout, but I mean, like
the Rams are really, really good too. They come at you from all angles too. I mean, they kind of started slow last week against the Giants. Then you looked up and it was like 28-3 in a second.
So yeah. So as far as stacks, and then the Lions have some guys you can run it back with. Like Swift actually looks pretty good this week because he just gets so many targets and catches so many balls, and that's going to be happening again. We talked a little bit about Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he didn't do great last week, but I think he still had 7 targets. He's still seeing the targets and he's still cheap. So I think you can run back, Ram stacks with either Brown or Swift. I could be on the Tampa Bay stack also. And it really has to do with Antonio Brown. You know, a lot of the reasons I don't like going to Tampa Bay is because it's tough to decide on the receivers, but I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with Brown in practice today. But if Antonio Brown's out, I think the Bucs stack looks great with Mike Evans and Godwin, who, you know, we never see under 6K. He's 5,900. That's a great price, you know. For we're used to seeing Godwin as the most expensive of the 3 Tampa wide receivers. At least he was towards the end of last season. 5,900 looks good already, but it would look amazing if Antonio Brown's out.
Does Brown have to sit for you to do that?
No. So no, it would just make me like it a lot more because you sort of know what to do. If Brown doesn't sit, all these guys, they still have, you know, affordable salaries. Even Evans is cheap. He's been catching a lot of touchdowns. Yeah. It's just tougher to decide.
It is. It's weird because Brown plays a few less snaps than the other guys, but it sure seems like Brady loves throwing to Antonio Brown, and Brown looks fast. He kind of looks like old Pittsburgh fast when he was, he'd catch the ball and just be gone. And it's hard to get away from Antonio if all 3 play, but I agree with you. If he doesn't, I mean, Godwin, it's 59. I didn't think at week one, after he was 9 for 105 in touchdown, we'd ever see Chris Godwin under 6,000 this year.
Right. And you know, that's a good point about Antonio. I think if he plays, I would be on him. You know, I might like him more than any of the other Tampa wide receivers for what you said. I saw a stat, I don't remember the exact stat, but it had to do with the separation that Antonio Brown's been getting. And it's just crazy. Yeah. He's clearly been Brady's favorite target, and he looks just as good as he did in Pittsburgh.
So with that Chiefs-Tennessee game, if you were going to be like, how do I play this a little differently? Maybe I think that the Chiefs are going to jump up and get a lead early. How do you feel about we talked about A.J. Brown. How do you feel about pairing A.J. Brown with Ryan Tannehill, who has not been great? He's not been in the same efficiency he was last year. He's 6,400, though. You can get like a Tannehill with Brown, then you could play Kelsey or Tyreek Hill coming back the other way. Some nice leverage off all the Derrick Henry plays. And we talk about how expensive he is, but a lot of people would click on his name first, especially with all the running backs missing. The Chiefs are allowing 8.4 YPA this year. They've been getting stung on defense. How do you feel about a Tannehill-Brown stack this week?
Yeah, I'm okay with a Tannehill-Brown stack, especially because I don't think people are going to roster Tannehill. Yeah. He's sort of in the price range where people are either going to pay up or go down, and he's just not a guy that people like to play. But I like it in this spot. Yeah, if Tennessee's going to hang around, he's going to have a big game. And yep. he runs a little bit too, which is nice. So, yeah, I really like that because, saving the 2,000 from Mahomes to Tannehill lets you get Tyreek or Kelsey in there much easier. And you don't need, Mahomes can still outscore Tannehill, just by a little bit. And Tannehill is a better play based on what he allows you to do with the rest of your lineup. Yeah, I think that's a really good call.
Yeah, and you got to hope when they get to the 2-yard line, he does the little run play option, and instead of handing it off to Derrick Henry, he just takes it himself, which he does. He has two rushing touchdowns already this year, which you wouldn't expect on a team with Derrick Henry. But you're right, he does get the rushing stats a little bit in there. With the Rams stack, if you're going Stafford, he's 7,100. Do you just automatically click Cooper Kupp? Do you consider Robert Woods for $2,000 less?
Yeah, me personally. Well, you definitely consider Woods, but if I'm playing a Ram stack, it's probably to roster Cooper Kupp. Like I'm gonna play it in the hopes that he's the highest scoring receiver on the slate. But I think you can pair him with Woods. You could pair him with one of the cheaper wide receivers, maybe Van Jefferson. But I like adding Higbee in there. We'll get to tight end in a little bit, but I don't think, Higbee's not going to be as popular as some of the guys above him, or at least one of the guys below him. And again, if you're playing this Ram stack, you're looking for 4 touchdowns from Stafford. They're not all going to go to Kupp. I would roster Kupp, but I would add another Rams pass catcher in there. Smaller single entry tournaments, you can even add 3 pass catchers to some of these stacks, to Tampa Bay and the Rams specifically, especially if one of them is cheap.
So an interesting way we talked about playing Tannehill if you don't play Derrick Henry. An interesting one that the stack that I saw, if you don't play Henry, is to go with Rodgers and Davante Adams. They're really expensive. Rodgers 7,500, but Adams is 8,900. So that's not going to be a Derrick Henry lineup unless you like go superstars and scrubs. But it's a weird way to get some really good players and not play Henry. Rodgers has multiple touchdowns in 5 straight games, only over 300 yards once. Like you're kind of wait, and only over 2 passing touchdowns once. You're kind of waiting for that big blow-up Aaron Rodgers game here at some point. We haven't seen it yet, but you got to figure at some point it's going to be coming. Davante Adams, we talked about earlier. The Washington defense is rough right now. They've allowed 4 touchdowns 3 times, and then last week they allowed 400 yards, 397 to Patrick Mahomes. Like they have really, really leaked in the pass game. We talked about Devontae with 5 targets last week, but they only threw the ball 21 times. Like it was a huge game script issue. They just didn't throw a lot. I mean, that's still was a 22%, 23% of the target. So not like he was disappeared. It's just Green Bay didn't throw the ball very much. They didn't need to. The question, I guess, is, can Washington score enough? But coming back to really make this a shootout. How do you feel about Rodgers and Devontae this week in a way to like, if you're going to not play Henry, this is a way to get expensive and maybe probably not very highly owned either.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking about it, but it's one of the reasons why I like doing this podcast. Give each other some new ideas stuff that we might not have been on. So Rodgers is for sure going to be the least popular of all those quarterbacks above him, all the quarterbacks below him. Yeah. Like he's going to be 2% owned maybe in a lot of tournaments. So yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And also you can run him back, even though Washington hasn't been great, you can run it back with Ricky Seals-Jones,
yep.
who, you know, we spoke about last week. We'll get to in a little bit.
He's a chalk monster last week. We talked about everybody's going to have him, and he went out there and scored a nice long touchdown. Every once in a while, that chalk plays out a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not, you know, Ricky Seals-Jones, he disappointed us a lot in last season, especially, and maybe the year before in spots where everyone thought he was a good play, but he actually seems to be a good play now just because I think he was out there for over 90% of the snaps again. They just don't have a lot of guys for Heinicke to throw the ball to, and they're going to have to be passing in the spot. So I do like that because you're right. We haven't seen Rodgers go off for, you know, his big game, 4 or 5 touchdowns. And you know, those are coming. You could even throw in a guy, you know, like Lazard or like Cobb, I guess, in there. I don't necessarily love that, but I like the skinny stack of Rodgers, Devontae, and Seals-Jones. Yeah.
I really like that one. As I looked at the slate more and more, and I saw that, you know, Lamar's right underneath him, Matthew Stafford's right underneath him, and then Mahomes and Kyler above him, I just think everybody's going to scroll by Rodgers this week. And I love the matchup against Washington. You know, if you really wanted to kind of punt tight end, you can go with him with Robert Tonyan at 7,500, who has not been good, but, you know, can catch a touchdown pass or two. So I think you can play Tonyan if you wanted to go with a Green Bay stack too. What about some cheaper, like sneaky stacks? We talked a lot about quarterbacks over 7,000 except for Tannehill. There's some quarterbacks that are cheaper this week. Are there any that you are looking to kind of stack and get different? There's a couple down here I like, but I'm going to have you go first.
Yes. There's one game that I like most. So first I'll say I've heard from a few different places around the industry. A lot of different people are on this Eagles Raiders game because basically it's a pace up spot for both teams. The Eagles play fast and the Raiders have really switched it up now that Gruden's gone. They ran a lot more play action, and I guess Carr mentioned something about, you know, they've been preaching up tempo to him since Gruden left. So I think that'll be, you know, a spot where some people go. That's not the stack I'm going to talk about. I think that's okay. For a sneaky stack, I like this Atlanta-Miami game. Both quarterbacks are cheap. Ryan, 5,700. Tua, 5,500. I thought Tua looked good last week, even though they lost to the Jaguars. It's such an upgrade, at least from a fantasy perspective, from Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
I really like what I've seen from Waddle. He's getting a ton of targets, really talented, still affordable, and Gesicki as well. Again, super talented, ton of targets. And also because it's not going to be popular, like Gesicki specifically. Again, we'll touch on tight end a little bit later, but I know people really like Dallas Goedert this week now that Ertz isn't there, and Gesicki's the same price. So that's a spot where maybe I'll be on the less popular Gesicki over a popular Goedert. And then getting to the Atlanta side, Calvin Ridley looks like one of the better plays on the slate. We've never seen him priced this low, 6,600. Yep. He's a guy that was approaching 8K last year. I think he started the season at 7,900. And then another guy that people just aren't going to play, Kyle Pitts, just because of where he is. The same price as Mark Andrews. Also, people will just go up to Kelsey if they get that high.
Yeah.
So I think there's just a lot of ways you can go. And I didn't even mention the Atlanta running backs, I guess. Okay, so I prefer the Miami side of that stack, but I think they're basically equal. But if for instance, if I play Tua, Waddle, and Gesicki, you can run that back with Mike Davis. I mean, I'll even mention Cordarrelle Patterson. I know it's, you know, sort of a joke to some people, but I mean, they're just using this guy a ton in every way. He has big touchdown upside, big receiving upside. He's got a big salary increase now up to 6,300. So it's probably still not a spot where I'm necessarily going to go, but I think in large field tournaments, it makes sense. I just think you can stack that game a lot of ways. And because everyone's so cheap in that game, it lets you fill your lineup with a lot of the best plays in other positions. What about you? Do you have a sneaky stack that you're considering?
I do. And one of them is that game, actually. I actually like the other side of it a little bit more than you do. I like Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley. I think that they're about even, but you look at Matt Ryan, like, I hate to do it, and he always lets us down, but 280 plus yards in three of the last four games. He has 10 touchdowns the last 4 weeks. They've thrown 40 plus passes in three of the last four games. Like, I think they've realized that Mike Davis is just a guy, and they're more dynamic when Patterson's in. And, you know, Davis will get his touches. He does. But, you know, with Patterson in there, they can throw, they can run, they could do stuff. And I think that they like that mix, and it helps Ryan when you get a running back in there that can – what, he had 9 targets last week. He had a touchdown down the sideline. Like, it was just looked good. They were on bye last week, but the week before when they were in London. But Miami's 31st in the NFL in passing points allowed to quarterbacks so far. Xavien Howard and Byron Jones is key. Like, they both might be out. They're two really good cornerbacks. You know, that's one of those, like, check it. They're both questionable. Like, if they both don't play, that moves Ryan up even a little bit higher for me. And I think that the Tua factor is important, because I think that it makes Miami a little more dynamic. They can score some more points. And if you're going to play a running back receiver stack, you want that other side to do well, because you want your guy to go back out there and throw the ball again.
Yeah. Great point about Miami's cornerbacks, both their top two cornerbacks banged up. I mean, if they're out, yeah, they're just not going to be able to stop Atlanta. Totally agree.
My other one, and I think it's, you know, kind of going back to last week with Joe Burrow, is that I don't think anybody's going to play Joe Burrow this week. I think that we got those top guys, then you go down, people are going to play. You're going to try and get Tannehill for a piece of that game. You're going to get some Matt Ryan. You're going to get some Tua, like you mentioned. Burrow's 6,200, multiple passing touchdowns in all six games. I think the reason people will stay away is they're playing Baltimore, and Baltimore really played Justin Herbert well last week. They blitzed him. He struggled with the blitz. Joe Burrow plays well against the blitz. His stats have been good against the blitz so far this year. Baltimore has given up some big plays. When you do blitz, you do give up some big plays. I think since he might have to throw the ball a lot in the second half, I think the Baltimore's probably going to open up with a lot of points in the first half. And you have just a nice target to pair him with. Jamar Chase is 6,200, and Jamar Chase is freaking awesome. Like, I think all the stuff we talked about dropping the ball is long gone. Only 6 targets last week, but he turns out into 4 for 97. He should have had a long touchdown, a play that hurt me, because I had that sack last week. Burrow kind of underthrew him. He had a slope, and he still caught it, but it should have been like a 70-yard touchdown instead of I think it was a 51-yard catch. But Baltimore, like I said, they played well against Tyreek when they played him. He only had 3 for 14. They kind of played that zone against Tyreek. But I just think that if Burrow can kind of read that blitz, escape it from it, I think that the chance for a big couple of big shot plays is there with Jamar Chase.
Yeah. So initially I really liked that game. But I was surprised to see the 46.5 point total. And then I looked at it a little more, and these are two of the slower teams, the slower offenses in the league. So it kind of took me off the stack a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But like everything you said, like, it was going to be one of my favorite stacks. And then just that little thing takes me off it. I don't want to have too much tunnel vision, because the game can still shoot out if it starts a certain way. Like if Cincinnati take a lead. And I agree with you. There's great plays. There's great individual plays on each side of this game. And if we get the right script, it can absolutely go off. You mentioned Chase. T. Higgins is cheap. He's actually seen the biggest target share of the three receivers when all three are healthy. So I don't mind going there. And then on the Ravens side, you know, everybody knows about Marquise and Mark Andrews, but I think you can go to Rashad Bateman, first round draft pick. He only played, I think, 22 snaps last week, but he saw 6 targets. You know, the snap count doesn't matter if when the guy's in the game, he's getting the ball. And for 3,400, I think it makes sense a lot. I think, though, if it's a game that I might just have a skinny stack because it just, you know, if it plays slower, it might be hard to shoot out. But I think, yeah, QB, receiver, and then a receiver the other way makes a lot of sense. And you're right. I don't think people will necessarily be on this game either.
Yeah, I had two receivers in the 3,000 that kind of like this week, and Bateman was one of them just because, you know, the talented offense and six targets last week. And that was like his first like really heavy action, obviously, this year because he'd been injured. I like to see the fact that he had six targets early. But one more quarterback I wanted to ask you about. But first, a note from our sponsors at Thrive. Thrive is back for another season of fantasy football, and they're running huge guaranteed contests each week this NFL season. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on each game. Sign up today and get a free six-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you claim that subscription. First, visit rotowire.com/thrive. Then deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a $100 deposit bonus up to $100. And then play in your first paid contest. And all that, you'll receive a free six-month RotoWire subscription. So, Ryan, the last guy I want to ask you about real quick before we get to some running backs and receivers, we haven't even really mentioned him except for, you know, mentioning who was the most expensive quarterback. But Kyler Murray is playing in a game where he's a 17.5-point favorite. You know, obviously our concern is they hand the ball off for the last 30 minutes of this game. Will they use him up? Kyler's interesting right now. He has 7 rush yards total the last 2 weeks. He's not been running the ball. I don't know if it's that he had a little bit of an upper arm issue. Couldn't tell if it was a bicep or a shoulder, but he hasn't topped 40 rushing yards yet in the season either. Like, he's not been running wild. He's been picking his spots, you know, getting there when he needs to, but not really running wild. 270 or fewer yards throwing the last 3 weeks. This has been a little bit of a down period for Murray. They've been winning, so he's kind of been hidden in the fact that they're 6-0, playing really well as a team, playing good defense. He's the most expensive quarterback. Are you going to Murray at all? Because I don't think I am with everything I just said.
Yeah, with everything you just said, I'm not either. For the most expensive QB on the slate, you know, we want more than mid-20s fantasy points.
Yeah.
Now, of course, he can do that. But, yeah, the fact that he hasn't been running the ball is concerning. I mean, you want that when you're going to pay $8,500. And then as far as like slowing the game down, I think out of the Cardinals, Rams, and Bucks, the Cardinals are the most likely team to slow it down late. They like to get James Conner involved then. They like to chase Edmonds too. They've closed out a lot of games running the ball. That being said, you can still make a case for Kyler. Usually, I don't like, or at least I haven't been stacking Kyler this year because it's tough to know who to pair him with because, like out of the expensive receivers, DeAndre Hopkins always has the lowest target share out of all those guys. This week, though, and I got to bring up a little revenge game narrative, you know, going against his old team, the Texans, I do think that adds a few targets to Hopkins. And I do think Murray makes a point to get Hopkins the ball and especially to get him at least a touchdown. So I think there's plenty of scenarios where Hopkins goes for over 102 touchdowns. So I think you can play Murray, but I might just play him with Hopkins and maybe run it back with Cooks. Maybe not. But yeah, if I'm just making one lineup, I'm not going to play Murray this week.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, he's Kyler Murray. He can go off at any point, but I think everything that's kind of laid out plus the game script, I find it really hard to click his name instead of Mahomes in the same price tag.
Yep.
So let's jump into some of those mid-range running backs. We mentioned Darrell Henderson earlier as kind of the one we thought would be the most rostered by DFS players. There are a lot of guys in this range, so I'm going to list out ones that I think are playable and then kind of see where you fall in them. Joe Mixon, 6,500. Leonard Fournette, 6,400. Leonard Fournette is 5 plus targets each the last 3 weeks. It's crazy how involved he is right now. You mentioned Cordell Patterson, 6,300. Chuba Hubbard is 61. DeAndre Swift, you mentioned, you know, getting a lot of targets in the second half is 6,000. Darrell Williams is 5,800. Damian Harris, 5,700. And James Conner, 56. Like, this is a massive range of guys who are either good or in good game scripts or like are usable because of injuries. What the heck are you doing with this range? Because I have trouble kind of parsing through here and figuring out which of the guys I want to play because they're all, I can make a case for all of them and I kind of make a case against all of them because that's why they're priced here. But we've got Derrick Henry up top, we have Aaron Jones, and then there's this range. What are you going to do with this glut of running backs?
Yeah, it's really tough. You're right.
It probably determines who does well too because a couple of these guys are going to go off and people are going to have them. I mean, picking from this range, I think is probably the key to this week.
Yeah, I agree. So I'll start from a cash game perspective. Yeah, I think besides Henderson, I've heard a few different people that I really respect their thoughts about NFL cash games that are all over Leonard Fournette again. Yeah. Nobody wanted to roster Fournette when he's even, you know, in the mid 5K range, but if he's going to continue to see this much work, he looks like a great play. I mean, the matchup is amazing and he's been catching a lot of passes too. So I think you can go to Fournette in cash. Like other cash options, Chuba Hubbard and Swift, I think are both in play. I like Chuba Hubbard this week. I didn't check if it's changed at all, but he had a rushing yard prop of somewhere in the high 70s. And that's pretty good when you consider that, you know, he catches passes too. And I really like this matchup. The Giants are probably the most banged up team in football. Real quickly, going back to last week about that Rams Giants game that I faded, and it was just such a mistake. I don't know what you'd call this, but the health disparity in that game was the biggest in the league. I forget that there's a stat about it. The Rams were the healthiest team in the league. The Giants were the least healthy team in the league. And that was basically everywhere, you know, and they didn't get healthy in 1 week. So I think I really like Chuba Hubbard. And then I like Darrell Williams too. Just, you know, that game has such a big total. He has so much touchdown equity. Running the ball 21 times last week is encouraging, and he catches passes too. So I think, like, for cash, I've got Henderson in there. Fournette's an option. Chuba Hubbard's an option. Darrell Williams is an option. I guess Swift, those are like who I'm deciding between in cash, but I think I'm going to play three of these guys in cash. One in the flex spot. They're all good plays, like you said. But
does your thoughts on who you like change in a tournament? Like, what are you doing? How would you do that differently? I mean, obviously, a cash game, you want some safety, you want some floor. Do you have different guys in this range you target in a tournament, or is it still kind of the same options?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Every once in a while, I have one.
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind is that running backs don't necessarily have to pair them with anyone. They don't have to be involved in stacks. Like, so a lot of times I'll just use the running backs that I play in cash, like the most in tournaments too, you know, because I like those running backs the most.
Yeah, I do too.
So that's like where I'd lean, just using the guys that I play in cash because I like them the most. But
you look at Chuba Hubbard. You mentioned him. You mentioned the Giants. You look at what the Giants have done against running backs the last 3 weeks. Kamara had 26 for 120. Zeke had 21 for 110 and scored twice, one receiving, one rushing. And then Darrell Henderson last week, 21 for 78, not the best yards per carry, but also scored twice. He had a touchdown rushing and receiving. That's a lot of running back production the last 3 weeks. And, you know, Chuba had 94% of the running back touches last week. They're not using him like McCaffrey in terms of like out of the backfield, but using McCaffrey in terms of like, he's just the guy. Like, they don't really trade off running backs. They don't really split. He's a guy out there 94% of the time. You know, you wish maybe a little more McCaffrey-like in the pass game. He only had 3 targets last week. But the Giants are allowing 4.7 yards per carry, 6.3 fantasy points per game to running backs. It feels like Chuba should be really solid. I don't know if there's a huge upside there, if he's not going to catch the ball a lot, but 6,100 is really cheap. It's kind of tough for me to get away from there. The DeAndre Swift thing's interesting. He's 6,000. 47% of his points so far this year have come in the fourth quarter. He has 19 fourth quarter catches, which leads the entire NFL. It's just hard. Like, it's scary to rely on that. Like, you know, it's coming, you know, it's coming. They're down. And all of a sudden, like last week, he was doing nothing. And all of a sudden he scored in the fourth quarter, kind of just a cheap touchdown, and had a bunch of catches. And you're like, oh, you got there. But like, it's scary to have to rely on the fact that you have to hope the game should work exactly right. And, you know, turnovers happen, stuff happens. They're probably gonna get blown up by the Rams, but like, you don't want them to get blown out too far either, where they're just like, well, let's not risk DeAndre Swift here. Like, you want it to be in that happy zone where maybe they're down 17 to 24 or something like that, where they use them a lot. But I know it's scary to rely on a guy who you're like, you have to wait for the fourth quarter to get some stats.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it perfect. And it's scary to rely on a running back that needs a lot of targets to get there. Yeah. However, Swift always gets them, at least this
season. He does.
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm, I mentioned, you know, being on a Ram stack and liking Chuba Hubbard. And if I'm going to stack the Rams, I would probably switch Hubbard to Swift for the same price.
Yeah, makes sense.
It makes sense. Now, you don't have to do it, though. It's a trap that I get myself into sometimes about needing to run games back, like we mentioned. But yeah, I do like it just because Swift is such a good play. And if he gets in the end zone, he's almost for sure to have a good game because he's going to be catching passes. It just makes sense. Like you said, you want that game to stay close. Other than that, though, if I'm in the same salary range as the guys in my cash lineup, I'll just use those running backs in tournaments too. But for tournaments, what I probably will do is either pay up for a different running back, maybe Aaron Jones, or pay down for some of these. There's a couple tournament options down here that we can get into.
So if you pay down, you know, I see Damian Harris at 5,700. He has 18 for 101 last week in a touchdown against Dallas, a good defense. Now they're playing the Jets. Should be a good game script. You think that New England's going to be up. They're going to want to run the ball. They're a team that will be willing to run the ball in the second half if they have a lead. And James Conner, we talk about Kyler and this huge spread. He had 18 carries in week 4, 16 carries last week. They are using him a lot. It's not especially impressive. It's not especially efficient, but he scores touchdowns. He had 71 yards last week, which is the highest all year. He obviously needs to score for it to work. I do get that. But, like, do you go – 5,600, do you consider Connor in a game where maybe they just hand the ball off to him the whole second half and maybe they don't need Chase Edmonds as much in this kind of game?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, but
– scares the hell out of me, though, because I just – there's so many ways he goes sideways.
Yeah, it scares the hell out of me, too. It's probably not something I'm going to do. Like, you know, everything you said, you know, it gives Connor, you know, a good chance to get – you know, 15 fantasy points. I don't know, but does he ever go off in this spot? I don't know. Maybe he does. Yeah. You know,
he'd have to score. He'd probably have to, it's probably a scenario where he scores three times.
Yeah. Or yeah. So yeah, it's possible. I don't see myself doing it. I get it. The guy I'm looking at down here it's tough to recommend him if based on his game log, but I'm kind of on Miles Sanders this week.
Ooh. That will not be popular.
Okay. Well, he's 5,100, you know, yeah. He started the season in the 6Ks. Not that that really matters, but what I like is cheap price, but I like that game should be fast. And I was surprised. I don't have his exact usage in front of me, but I was surprised, I think it was a Thursday night game the last time the Eagles played. Sanders seemed like he was in there every play. I was expecting Gainwell. I played the showdown. I was expecting Gainwell to get a few more looks, a few more snaps, but it was all Sanders. And you know, if he gets in the end zone, he doesn't need to do much more for 5,100. And the fact that game's supposed to be one of the most up-tempo games on the slate, I'm going to like the running back that catches passes. That's 5,100. So,
the key point on Sanders is like, he's dynamic. Like he doesn't need, if he could hit a big play anytime, you're right though. He had 43 offensive snaps and Kenneth Gainwell had 12 in that Thursday night game against Tampa. So maybe a little bit of a shift. Maybe, you know, he hasn't had more than 15 carries and that was week one, but they had a weird stretch in the middle there where he wasn't being used at all. He was playing a lot, but wasn't touching the ball. That's intriguing at 5,100. I hadn't really thought about that too much. I kind of just scroll by the Philly running backs, but 5,100 for a guy who is dynamic, was drafted early for a reason in fantasy leagues. That's a really interesting one in a game, like you said, to be high paced. I think you're going to get a low rostership on that too.
Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of weird for me too. It's the first time I've really considered Sanders this season. So it's not comfortable. But you know, he's the same price as someone who will be at least somewhat popular. Mike Davis, I guess we can mention.
I'd play Sanders before I played Mike Davis. That's for sure.
Yeah, me too. My, I, you know, Mike Davis is one of those guys that projects well. You know, people tout him as, you know, a potential cash play most weeks, and he's just not a guy that I go to. Just the upside doesn't seem there, and not, yeah, they have a lot of weapons now. I prefer Sanders for tournaments, especially in that price range.
I do too. I like that play. I think that's one that I hadn't thought a lot about, and it makes a lot of sense. Let's get to receivers real quick before we get out of here. But first, a note from our sponsors at Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season, Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to attain a free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of the free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest that's now live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and entry into the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome. to claim the free $10 offer to get all started. So in terms of mid-range wide receivers, we actually have hit on some of my favorites already. I really like Calvin Ridley this week at 6,900. You can play him, you know, with Ryan or without Ryan. We talked about Antonio Brown earlier. He's 6,300. Marquise Brown, we talked about earlier. We're talking about Lamar's 5,800. You talked about Waddle, so that you kind of took all the ones I want to talk about out of the mix, which is good. We're talking about stacks. We're talking about ways to play this. I want to ask you about a guy that in a game you mentioned already in Philly and Vegas, as a pace-up game, Henry Ruggs is 5,500. He's very much a boomer bust guy. Like, you're like, oh, he's throwing deep. There's Ruggs. I feel like they should run the deep pass to Henry Ruggs like once a quarter or once a half. It just seems like it's there. Carr has a nice kind of high arcing ball that Ruggs can run under. He has 50-plus yards in 5 of 6, so he's been a little more consistent, I think, than we think. But it's always that bomb that he hits. But he only has 7 targets the last couple of weeks. The Eagles have been pretty good against big plays. Do you entertain some Henry Ruggs this week at 5,500?
I like Henry Ruggs normally. I like him as a player. I like his upside. Like you said, the low targets are not encouraging.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks kind of worried me a little bit.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't take much for Ruggs. He can catch, you know, 4 balls for 2 long touchdowns. We've seen him do it before. I like the way that offense is trending without Gruden. I think they had run something crazy, like only 12 play action plays all season before last week, and they ran a bunch than last week. The offense has changed since Gruden left. It seems like they're going to let Carr throw a little bit more, or at least take some more chances. So I do like Ruggs. Probably not as a one-off though. Like, he makes sense in stacks, I think.
If you're in that same range and Sterling Shepard plays, 14 targets last week, 10 catches, 76 yards. It's clear that when Sterling Shepard plays, Daniel Jones just stares him down, tries to get him the ball. Kadarius Toney went out a little bit early last week. On the first drive, he had 3 catches that went out. It was kind of a bummer. He's not going to play this week. If you want some floor, 5,600 is not super cheap, but Sterling Shepard feels like a pretty darn good floor play.
Yeah, I agree. It looks like Kadarius Toney's going to be out too. Yeah. I think Shepard is perfectly fine cash play. Yeah, he seems just really safe. He's going to get tons of targets. Now, I'd have a little pause for concern if both Galladay and Slayton are active.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't go there then. But again, it's not that big of a deal. It should be safe for cash games, but for tournaments, I'm avoiding that game for tournaments except for Chuba Hubbard. And maybe I could be talked into DJ Moore, but probably not. It's just like, you know, low total and not very appealing for tournaments.
Yeah, I always love DJ Moore, but yeah, kind of hard to get there in this game. He's 7,100. I think he's one of those guys that's over 7,000 that will not be very popular this week. So maybe, you know, in a tournament, I think that may work. Obviously, he's really good. They like to they target him a lot, but you know, tough to get there with the guys around him. Is there anybody else in the receivers in the 4,000, 5,000s that we haven't mentioned that you like? I have a couple guys in the 3,000s I want to hit on real quick. Is there anybody like 4,000-ish that you find yourself really gravitating towards this week at receiver? Because I kind of struck out in this range this week.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. So maybe I'll let. I'm not going to bring up Robbie Anderson, or at least I'm not going to talk about. But you know, 11 targets in two out of the last 3 weeks. I don't know. Is he any good at football? I don't know.
I mean, we talked about him last week at 4,800. If you had told me that he'd get 11 more targets, I would have like been all over that. I think he dropped like four of them, and it was a weird game. He scored in like the last couple minutes to like make it not as awful, but three of 11 on 11 targets is hard to do in the NFL.
So it's very hard to do. Yeah. Like I can't even believe looking at his game log, like 11 targets and a touchdown ends with 10 fantasy points. I mean that, yeah. I don't know if something like that has ever happened. Yeah, I don't mind T. Higgins. I mentioned him in the, when we were talking about the Baltimore Cincinnati game. It's just it's a good price. So if you're gonna play the Tampa Bay stack, I think Mooney's okay, and more so because Tampa Bay is just incredible against the run and very bad against the pass. So I think
you think that Matt Nagy sees that and gives up on the run and will actually let Justin Fields open up and throw the ball, because I just don't. I would love that. I would love that setup if it were like a normal coach. And even we saw it with the Rams the first week when they played. Like, it's just like, we know we can't run the ball. We're just going to go ahead and throw the ball all game because it's the way to beat them. But I just don't trust Matt Nagy. I mean, they don't run that offense like to Justin Fields' strength at all. It's kind of frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I don't trust Nagy either. You just feel like maybe if they're down 20, he has no choice.
But I like Mooney as a player too. I think he caught a touchdown last week. I do like Mooney as a guy that in this range that can hit big plays. If they let Justin Fields throw the ball, I think he's the guy that's going to catch the deep balls too.
Yeah, I agree. I like Mooney too, and Fields seems to be Fields' favorite guy. Yeah, I mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown, 7 targets, 8 targets, 8 targets. I know like they've mostly been for short yardage, but if he finds the end zone at 4,100, looks really good. That should be a great game script for him to see a bunch more targets. And, you know, after sort of busting last week when he was semi-popular, it's one of those situations where people don't like to go back to him. So I don't mind him in Ram stacks. Again, my favorite guy in this range is, you know, the guy we talked about last week as our favorite guy in this range, and it's Hardman. It's such a good spot for KC in Tennessee. We've talked about it, and there's injuries to Tyreek and Kelsey. I mean, Kelsey, I think suffered 3 different injuries last week that kept him on the sidelines for at least a few plays.
And he still had 99 yards and scored, right?
Right. Yeah. And Hardman's just still a good price. I was expecting to see him jump up a few $100, but he's still the same as last week. And even if he only sees, you know, 5 or 6 targets again, there's a lot of touchdown upside with these KC guys. So yeah, Hardman is my favorite in that range. You mentioned some 3K guys. I'm interested to hear who you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, Rashad Bateman was the first one. You mentioned him at 3,400, 6 targets last week. The other one is, you know, it's a bit of like you're punting, you're trying to get tricky down here. But in a game where a team is a 17.5 point underdog, they're going to have to throw the ball the entire second half. You mentioned Brandon Cooks earlier, but the guy that jumped out to me at 3,200 actually is Nico Collins in Houston. He played 43 snaps last week. His first game, he had been injured. He had been out. This is a guy that they were really excited about in the preseason. People were drafting him in fantasy leagues. Then he got hurt, but he's 4 for 44, but had 6 targets last week, played 43 snaps. I think in a game where they are literally going to have to drop back the entire second half, I really like Collins to get enough targets that he makes 3,200 that work, and you could see if he scores a touchdown or hits a big play, like it really works really well. But I think he's enough targets in here that he doesn't have to do very much. I think he pays off this week, and I don't think many people are going to be on him.
No, that's a really interesting call, but I like it. It's one of those guys where, that in the second half and especially the fourth quarter, these guys get a lot of stats when Arizona will be up a lot. You know, they don't necessarily care too much about shutting the Texans down anymore. That's when
You want to throw 10-yard slants to Nico Collins the fourth quarter? That's fine with everybody involved, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're right, for 3,200, if he gets in the end zone. Yeah, I think, you know, that's a good call. And he makes sense, like, too, if you want to do a small Arizona stack, even without an Arizona stack. But, yeah, I like that.
I like guys that we got some talent that are showing some target. They're risky. It's 3,200. Don't get me wrong. He could totally zone. He can totally zero out. But I like guys that show a little bit of targets right before they hit it big. So I think it's a tournament play. It's a shot. It's a little bit of a dart. But I think it's a well thought out dart that I think that can work and save you a lot of money and get you some other guys in your lineup too.
Yeah.
Real quick on tight ends, we've gone a little bit long here, but we mentioned a lot of times. We mentioned Kelce, 7,600. Darren Waller, 6,700, has not been doing a lot since week one, but, you know, finally getting down in price a little bit. Where are you at tight end this week? You mentioned Mike Gesicki at 4,700. You mentioned Ricky Seals-Jones at 3,700. You mentioned Kyle Fitz at 5,900 too, with same price as Andrews. Where do you think you're kind of gravitating towards this week at tight end?
Yeah, tight end is tough. We have a lot of good options this week. I think sort of more so than usual. It's not quite as clear cut. So last week it was Kelce, Mark Andrews, Ricky Seals-Jones. Yep. All of them have been priced up a little bit, but all three are still good plays. I do like Ricky Seals-Jones for cash because he just lets you do whatever you want in the rest of your lineup. but I think you can go to – So you can make a case for all of these guys, and it's going to have me I'm not going to have just one guy that I'm jamming into all my lineups. I'm going to make it more so just involve the tight end in my stack, just have it make sense with my lineup specifically. Yeah, I don't have like, no, you mentioned Waller. No one's going to play Waller. So I like it from that perspective. People will either just pay up, find the salary for Kelce, or yep, go down to Andrews, Pitts, or even farther. So it makes sense from that perspective. Do you have anyone that you're leaning towards?
So I like Gesicki, who you mentioned earlier. He's 4,700. Targets last 4 weeks are 12, 6, and 7, and 9. I prefer that some of their receivers are still out. Like if Devontae Parker and Preston Williams play, maybe I'm a little less excited by that. The one that kind of excites me a little bit is a guy that was really good early on and then has really struggled, but kind of popped again last week, 11 targets, is TJ Hockenson, in a game where we talked about Swift coming back. We talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think you could play a Rams stack with Hockenson only back. I think that I like him. He had a lot of plays in the second half. He had 11 targets. Should be a really good game. He was 8 for 74 last week. And more than anything, like, he's just really talented. Like, if you get him, he's $800 less than Pitts, $900 less than Andrews. I just think he's really good. I think that maybe Goff figured out he was good and he went back to him last week, 11 targets. I think he's priced down in a spot where I'm willing to play him at 5,100. I'm going to have some TJ Hockenson this week, kind of in this like dead mid-range of pricing where you know, people probably go down to Seals-Jones, a little bit down to Gesicki, up to Pitts, up to Andrews, up to Kelce. I think Hockenson kind of fits in well there. Give me 11 targets again. I'm signing up for that for sure.
Man, that's a really good call. I mean, I'm disappointed that I mentioned this Ram stack a few times and running it back with Swift and St. Brown, but you're right.
I think Hockenson is my run back on that stack, is actually where, if I'm going to do it, I think I'm going to go Hockenson on the way back.
That's a great call. Got nothing to add to that. Yeah. You talked me into Hockenson.
Nice. I like it. Well, I like it if it works well. What about defenses? You know, we always kind of hit defense at the end, but, you know, defense matters. You hit a big play in your defense, it can make a huge difference, especially in a tournament. When you look at tournament winners, you're always like, oh, well, he hit that, you know, 17 points on his defense. Like, that makes a huge difference. I have a couple like under 3,300 that I like this week, but where are you thinking on defense? I know you're a cheap defense guy, so where do you find yourself going this week?
Yeah, well, you know, the cheap defenses haven't really been treating me very well. At least so from a cash perspective, I'll start with the cheap defense and see if maybe I can pay up once I get the rest of my lineup in. But if I'm looking at a cheap defense, I think, yeah, there's not much. I would go to the Eagles because they have the 6th rated D-line, and the Raiders have the 25th ranked offensive line. So you got a pretty decent mismatch there. Again, I don't love it. It's a cash play. I'd rather pay up for the Cardinals, I think, you know.
The Cardinals feel underpriced. They're 3,100. I thought they'd be like 4,000 against Houston. Do you feel like everybody's going to take the Cardinals? It seems like the Cardinals like the easiest click ever.
Yeah, it does. You're right. I thought they would be more expensive. People look for these matchup against the Texans, yeah, and rightfully so. And it's a home matchup against the Texans. Yes, they absolutely feel underpriced.
And Arizona had 5 sacks last week. Houston's allowed multiple sacks in 4 straight. I feel like a lot of people are just going to be like, screw it, I'm just going to take Arizona and click it and move on, not worry about, you know, how highly rostered they are. The sneakier one I have is cheaper, is 2,500, is the New York Football Giants against Carolina. Not necessarily that I love them, but they have 4 sacks the last 2 weeks. They forced 4 turnovers the last 2 weeks. But you look at Carolina is really why I like this side of the game. Carolina sacks allowed the last 4 weeks, 4, 3, 5, and 3. Those are big numbers. Those are like nice floors to start with. Sam Darnold has 6 interceptions the last 2 weeks. He's like, he early on, we're like, oh, Sam Darnold, this is not the Jets guy. He's back. The last 3 weeks, he's really looked shaky. He's struggled. And I like that when I'm going quarterback. I like a guy who's a little maybe lacking in confidence. I think he's kind of, you know, to use the old Sam Darnold, maybe seeing some ghosts again. But I really like the Giants at 2,500. I think if I'm going to get away from Arizona, if I'm going to go cheap, try to save some money, I think I jump down to 2,500 with New York and kind of play it that way. If you want to go up a little bit, like I think New England is pretty playable at 3,400. It's hard to, you know, spend the extra money over Arizona, but they played Zach Wilson earlier in week 2. They had 4 interceptions. The Jets have thrown 9 picks in 5 games. Like, it's just, you know, Belichick against rookie quarterback kind of gets old. People talk about it a lot, but I think New England's pretty playable too. But I do like the Giants this week as one that I don't think a lot of people are going to play and saves you a bunch of cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Great points. Darnold's been turning the ball over a ton. I think you'll see people roster the Giants in cash, and it makes a lot of sense, but for tournaments as well.
It's weird that Tampa Bay is 4,000, Arizona's 3,100 though. Like I'm surprised those aren't a lot closer.
Yeah. Like the price tag on Arizona just really sticks out. And, you know, you mentioned that they're probably going to be popular. I don't think it doesn't matter.
I don't think I care on a defense either. I think they'll be as high a popularity as we've seen on a defense all year though. I think that just the price sticks out. The matchup sticks out. Their defense is good. They're 6-0. They have JJ Watt. Like it's just, they have Chandler Jones. Like it just kind of works. I think that, in terms of high rostership, we don't really see it a lot of defense, but I think that Arizona is going to be about as high as we see normally. And again, I think I agree with you. I think I don't really care. I'm gonna play them anyway in some spots.
Yeah. Me too. Definitely. The last thing I'll say is, and you know, I never like to tell people just absolutely don't do something, but don't pay $5,000 for a defense. The Rams are $5,000, and yeah. I think the Patriots were close to $5,000 another week. And, you know, I've heard people saying that, you know, well, you should do it because, you know, people aren't going to do it and you can get, you know, like a big differential if they end up being the highest scoring defense. It just doesn't happen that often, hardly at all. And it's just way too much to ever pay for a defense. I mean, you need a touchdown there or you need a shutout with a lot of turnovers. I when I see those $5,000 defenses, just don't do that, basically, is what I would say.
I'd play Tampa at 4,000 way before I played the Rams at 5,000. I probably won't even do that, but I would do it way before I played the Rams. And I mean, I think the Rams dominate this game, but 5,000, no, I ain't going there either.
Yep.
Anybody else? Do you want to talk about anything else on your mind before we jump out of here for the week?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered it all.
I do too. I think that we kind of hit everything that I wanted to discuss also. So as always, fun to join everybody on a Friday morning. Hope everybody enjoyed. Hope if you have any questions or anything, you can follow me on Twitter at Scott Genstead. Ryan, what's your Twitter? It's just your first and last name.
Right? Yeah, just at Ryan Belongi.
I just didn't want to have to say your last name again.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, I got it. I'm going to get there eventually. But and your last name is Belongia for people who are listening on audio and not watching the video. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We want to thank our sponsor, WinBet, for their sponsorship all season long. We greatly appreciate that. I hope everybody has a good DFS Week 7. We look forward to winning some money this week, hopefully. Hopefully this discussion helped you out with that. Other than that, we'll be back at you next Friday for Week 8. Take care, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, Scott.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.